Good morning. The reading today is from John 14, verses 1 to 10. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this, his work. This is the word of the Lord.
We're continuing this week this series that we've been looking at on the way of the Saviour, looking at various passages through the Gospels that use the road or ways or paths as a metaphor, as a symbol of the spiritual life. And so we started way back with prepare the way of the Lord at the start of Lent, and we're going to go right through now until after Easter, where we continue on to the road to Emmaus. And this idea of using the road or the way as a picture of the Christian life. And this morning we're in this incredibly famous passage where Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the way. If you want to get to heaven, I'm the road. I'm the way that you've got to go. There's no other way except through me. And I've just been struck more and more and more, as I'm sure you have as well over recent years, at the loss of confidence that there's been in that message, that Jesus is the unique way to the Father. That even Christians, it seems, are just less confident about saying that. And those who are not Christians don't like us saying it. And there's been this huge crisis of confidence. There's a real fear of offending people with the message of the uniqueness of Jesus. I was talking with one of our hospital visitors in the week who was just reminding me, really, I already knew this, but they were just reminding me, they're saying, you know, when we go and we visit somebody, this is a folk coming from the chaplaincy, sent by Christian chaplains, as Christians, to go to the bedsides of people who are sick. We can't mention Jesus or our faith or offer to pray. If the person asks us, then we can do it. But we can't start that conversation. It says Christian chaplain visitors, chaplaincy visitors, prohibited, stopped from sharing their faith fully. And I know that with prison fellowship, it's very similar, that when they're visiting prisoners, you have to wait for the other person to start the conversation, and then you can pick up on it before you share your faith. There was a motion at Katteen. Katteen had a study day a few weeks ago, and there was a motion on the Saturday that Katteen, in its documents and in different pieces, bits and pieces, and in that discussion that day, would no longer use the name of Jesus because it was exclusive and prevented folk of other faith of joining in meaningful conversations about faith. This is the Council of Churches was having a discussion about whether to use the name of Jesus in some of its meetings. That meeting was being chaired by Jay from Stanwell Road, who, I've got to tell you, had something to say about that. As a man of faith and a Bible-believing Christian, he had something to say. But you know, even in those sorts of meetings, I'm just thrilled John's here this morning. And John, I don't know if you know this, has been elected to be the chair of Katteen next year. So things will be changing. John's here today because it's his birthday. Happy birthday, John. It's good to have you amongst us today for your birthday. But as we greet you and say happy birthday, we want to commission you as well. And so we want to go and restore confidence in the name of Jesus. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way to the Father except through him. See, this isn't just some sort of made-up humanist message that we've got. This is not something that at some point in its church's history, a bunch of scholars have got together and thought it would be a good idea to worship Jesus. This is not something that's a human idea. This is something that's been revealed to us by God. That in the scriptures, Jesus has been revealed to us as the Son of God, as God incarnate in flesh. That Jesus has been revealed to us. We have this outside reference point, this reliable source that tells us that what we believe about Jesus is true. See, if you were to ask me, the best football team in the world is Coventry City. I believe that. Not much. But you know, if you say to me, what's the best team? Well, it's Coventry City. And you'll be saying other things, looking around, you know, Cardiff, Swansea, whatever. Yeah, okay, we'll leave it at Swansea, maybe not. But you know, our faith is not like that. It's not this sort of sense that we have that our God's better than your God, that our God's bigger than your God, like my dad's bigger than your dad. That's not the sense we have with Jesus. It's not just this inward mushy feeling that we have that what we've got is right. What we've got is the Word of God. That there is an assurance, an outside reference point, a revelation from God that says, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. It's not an opinion that Christianity is better than Islam or Judaism or Hinduism or any other sort of religion. We have this historic faith founded in the scriptures, revealed by God, that Jesus is the way. You know, Paul spoke about this in 1 Corinthians and 15, where he spoke about the way that Jesus came to him. Let's see, I've got a brand new Bible and the pages are sticking together. But let's have a look. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers, I want to remind you that the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached. Otherwise you will have believed in vain. For what I received, this isn't something he made up. This wasn't something he studied and thought would be a good idea. What I received, I passed on to you as of the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared also to me, as one abnormally born. This is a revealed truth, not just an inward feeling, an opinion. And one of the things that we need to do as a church is to rediscover that confidence to say, Jesus is the way. You know, I became a Christian in the 1980s, but my uncle had become a Christian in the Jesus movement at the late 60s and 70s. And back then, those of you looking around, there's a few of you who remember this, but Christians would point one finger, say, one way, there's only one way, Jesus. As they worship, they would point a finger. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, the way. Maybe Christians need to rediscover pointing a finger to heaven and saying, one way. There's only one way. We need to be bold, not ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God for salvation. You know, here's the tragedy. We've become embarrassed, maybe, in this multicultural, multi-faith, skeptical society of sharing the name of Jesus. We've become a bit embarrassed by the name of Jesus. And that people might think we're religious fruits and kooks if we start sharing our faith. And our embarrassment means that people are being lost. You know, back in the 1980s, there was during the HIV and AIDS scare that was going on at the time, there was the safe sex message, and it was saying, you know, don't die from embarrassment that you're not willing to talk about safe sex. Well, it's the same with the Christian faith, you know. People are dying from embarrassment because we're too embarrassed to share our faith. And this message of Jesus is one of confidence. I am the way. Not a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. This passage, you know, begins with these words, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." This was a troubling time for the disciples. There's a lot of confusing things going on. It'd been an exciting week and a confusing week. And now there's this real sense of impending doom, of the cross is looming now. Jesus has been prophesying and talking about what's going to happen. He's told them very plainly what's about to happen. And there's this gloom has settled, I just believe, on the room. And the disciples are starting to get worried. And into that, Jesus says these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Now the sense there is not, don't get worried when these things happen. What he's saying is stop being worried. Don't be worried any longer. It's not that he's saying there's a few tough days ahead. Don't worry about what's going to happen. He's not saying that. He's saying, do not be troubled anymore. It's a wonderful Greek word. It's terasso. Can you say terasso for me? Oh, you have to say it with more guts. Terasso. It's a wonderful word. It means stop being worried. Don't be worried anymore. He wants to encourage in them a confidence. He wants to encourage them and say, I know things are confusing at the moment. I know they're perplexing. I know life is difficult. I know you're concerned about the future. I know that you don't really understand what's going on. But don't let your hearts be troubled. What? Trust in God and trust also in me. That word terasso, it means don't be agitated. Don't be stirred up. Don't be confused. He's saying stop being confused about what's going on. I'm in charge. My Father's in charge. Stop being confused and perplexed and stirred up. Trust in God. Don't be thrown about by your emotions. And I believe this is a word for one or two of you this morning. Stop being thrown about by your emotions. The maturity of the Christian is when they say, I don't feel like it right now, but I'm going to stand on the promise of God and the word of God. And Jesus said to the disciples, stop being chucked about all over the place by the way you're feeling. Your feelings aren't reliable. Trust in God and trust also in me. And the trouble that Jesus has identified is the disciples are being led around by their emotions and not by what he's taught them. For 3 years he's been teaching them, and now it's come to the crunch, and they're worried, they're anxious, they're confused, they're being thrown around. For 3 years he's been telling them what's going to happen. He's been predicting the crucifixion, he's been predicting the passion. And here they are now, right at the eve of it, and their emotions have started to take over. And they've started to fear and get anxious and worried, and Jesus says, stop it. Don't do that anymore. Trust. Trust in what you've been told. Trust in what's been revealed to you. So the disciples are clearly sad and worried about Jesus' impending departure. They're ashamed at this point in the story by their own pride and their selfishness. You know, the thing that happened immediately before this has been the washing of the disciples' feet. And Jesus has caught them out being prideful and full of self-importance. And he's told them off over it. And so that there's embarrassment about that. They're perplexed because Jesus has just revealed to them that there's a betrayer amongst them. That one of them's going to betray him. They've got all this going on, the excitement of Holy Week and of Palm Sunday and the clearing the temple and the Jesus is teaching and all of that going on. And the worry about what's about to happen with the crucifixion and what Jesus has said is likely to happen. And the perplexion over, well, who's going to betray you? What's going on? What are you talking about? And the shame about the washing of the feet. And Jesus says into that turmoil, stop. Stop. be still. Stop being like a pond that's all stirred up. Let stillness come. Trust in me and trust in my Father. I don't know who this word is for this morning, but for some of you, life is troubled up. It's stirred up. There's things going on that are like storms in your life. And I just believe this word this morning for you. Stop. Be still. Trust again in what God has said. Because your feelings are going to let you down. Your feelings are going to lead you astray. Trust again in what God has said. Trust in Jesus' word and trust in his Father. Be still. And then Jesus goes on to remind them that the hope that they have isn't in this world anyway. They've got a greater hope. He's saying, you know, you're looking around and you're worried about what's going on in this world, but you know, you're home somewhere else. I'm going now to the Father to prepare a place for you. Ultimately, your home is in heaven. The worries of this world shouldn't be troubling you because you've got a hope that's safe within the veil. You've got a hope, an anchor that holds in a safe place. He says, not only am I going to get to go to heaven because of what's happening, but you do too. That one day you can come and join me. You know what? There's plenty of room. It's a roomy place. It's not like a Holiday Inn with a limited number of rooms and tiny little rooms with horrible en suites. It's a big place. It's not like going to Butlins for spring harvest and eight of you cramming into a little chalet. It's not like that. It's a roomy place. In my Father's house, there's mansions of space. And I'm going to get a place ready for you. And if I go and prepare a place, then I'm going to come back and take you to be with me one day. Stop flapping about what's going on in this world. What are you worrying about your pension for? What are you worrying about what you're going to do next week? What are you worrying about worldly things for? I'm going now to prepare a place for you. You don't have to worry that heaven's too small or God's grace is too narrow. There's a place for you. But you know, there's another wonderful promise there, and I'm going off my notes here, Barry, so don't try and follow this. But he doesn't only promise a hope of heaven one day in the future. You know, he promises great power for today as well. If we were to read on the next few verses, he says this. He says, believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe in the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And he will do even greater things than these. Because I'm going to the Father. This isn't all just about going to heaven. This is power for life now. He says, I've been performing miracles. And you've seen them. You should trust in them. But you know what? You're going to get to do them as well. And you're going to do greater things than this. Because I'm going to the Father and the Spirit's going to come and you're going to have the power. This isn't just a hope for tomorrow in heaven. This is power for now. You look back over the last few verses, what's he talking about? He's just raised Lazarus from the dead. And he says, you get to do that. When was the last time you went to a funeral expecting to be able to speak to the body and it to rise up? Do you know, I've tried to do it a couple of times and saw the prayers dribble out the corner of my mouth. Well, I've gone to funerals to go and view a body before a funeral. And I've thought, is this the time? Because Jesus said, I'm going to do it. He's walked on water and they've seen it. He's fed the 5,000. He's healed the man born blind. He's spoken to the official's son and raised him up. And Jesus says, you know what? In this life, you get to do that as well because I'm going to the Father. There's this great hope of heaven to come one day, but it's not all about that. There's something for now as well. He says, you know, what we're about to go through might be horrible, even unbearable, but we have this great hope of God in heaven who's in charge and a place that's secure for us and power for today as well. And then finally, he says, and you know what, this has got a stone cold guarantee on it. This has got the authenticity of the Father stamped all over it. God has hallmarked this promise. He says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? My words are not my own. This guarantee is not just that Jesus is speaking his own words, but these words come from God himself. And he says, this promise comes with a guarantee from heaven. Inside my wedding ring, there's a hallmark that tells me Claire didn't buy a cheap one. That she went to a jeweller's and got a real gold wedding ring. And if my eyesight wasn't so dodgy, I'd be able to look at it and see where it was made and when it was made and what the quality of the gold is. Because the jeweller, when he put the gold into this ring, when he smelted the gold and purified it and refined it to the level he wanted and poured it into the mould and then took it out and filed it and polished it and got it just right, he then put his stamp on it and said, you can trust in this. I've checked the quality of this. I've done it myself. I know what the value of it is. And he's put a hallmark inside it. And Jesus says, these words of mine have got the guarantee of the Father. These are not my own words. My promise is backed up by the Father. This is not just some lunatic, some religious loony, making wild promises in his own strength. This is backed up by the guarantee of heaven. Jesus sat in a room with those disciples 2,000 years ago, and he made them some promises. He made them all sorts of promises. But because of who we are in Christ, those promises are for us as well. If you're going through troubled times at the moment, or if troubled times are on the horizon, then Jesus' words are these: trust in me. Tarasso. Stop worrying. Be still. Rest. Because the power of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God and all its promises is at hand. And it's available to you. And as a promise, God has put his stamp on it, his hallmark, his guarantee that this is a promise from heaven. So whatever this week brings, whatever this month brings, whatever this year brings, Tarasso, stop worrying because the guarantee of heaven is at hand. May now the peace of God be with you. And with those you love, may his blessing go with you. And in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, know his presence with you this day and always. Amen. Amen. Let's greet one another with the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.